You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In this interview, I talked to the Managing Director of Nico Asset Management about investing in disruptive innovations and how people should approach KiwiSaver and investing. I began by asking him about the new KiwiSaver fund that Nico AM is launching that is tied solely to disruptive innovations like energy storage, DNA sequencing, and autonomous transport.
The ARC Disruptive Innovation Fund is a strategy that's run by an investment house called ARC Investment in the US. And what we did about a year or so ago is brought that to New Zealand as it put a pie wrapper around it for investors to be able to access. But just recently, we have introduced that into the KiwiSaver, the Nico AM KiwiSaver scheme as well, so that investors can include that not only as part of their general investments and savings, but also they can specifically allocate it to it as part of their KiwiSaver portfolio.
How should people approach KiwiSaver, and when is it best to invest in low-risk versus high-risk funds?
Yeah, it's a great question. And of course, each person's circumstances are a little bit different. I'd say that for young people, if you're just starting off, the amount of investment risk that you can take is probably pretty high, generally speaking. The reason for that would be that typically your balance is quite small, so the amount of contributions that are going into the fund are going to swamp the market returns. I mean, so for example, if somebody's saving, say somebody's saving $50 a month as a student, just starting getting into the savings habit, put a little bit away each month, then over a year that's $600. And if at the end of the first year there's a massive market event and markets drop by 30-odd%, you've lost $200, but then you're putting $50 a month away. So the size of that market movement on your investments is relatively modest. And so you can afford to take that sort of volatility trying to seek out those high returns. So you've got time on your side, volatility is your friend, and compound interest is going to work in your favor. If you're at the other end of your sort of saving spectrum, let's say you're just coming up to retirement, you want to be, you have your income then for a number of years, you're in your mid-60s, say you've got $1 million that you've saved up over your life, and there's that same 30% event, and your sudden retirement savings goes from $1 million down to $700,000. That's a much more serious event, because you haven't got years and time and contributions to make up those sorts of losses. So it very much depends on where you're at in your saving cycle. But there are other nuances to take into account as well. I mean, maybe you're saving for a first home, and you know, the last thing you want, just as you're about to take out your deposit to put down your first home, is to suddenly see that drop by 20-30%. So there are other factors that you need to consider too.
So then who should be investing in these disruptive innovations like energy storage and autonomous transport, DNA sequencing?
Yeah, great question. We've used, within the Nico KiwiSaver funds, we have what we call a conservative and a balanced and a growth fund. So these are sort of pre-mixed, diversified pools aiming to try and create a portfolio that suits investors in typical risk categories. So a conservative fund will typically have more bonds and more cash in it, and a growth fund is more allocated towards equities and the more volatile type securities. And we've used the ARC Disruptive Fund. We've used it at about 6% allocation in the growth fund. It's a 3% allocation in the balance fund, and we've not used it within the conservative fund. Now, arguably, those allocations are potentially a little bit on the light side. But what it's saying is that a fund like this, which can be volatile, and we do expect it to have large increases and potentially drawdowns from time to time, is that if you are in a balanced or diversified portfolio, you don't want to just swamp your returns. But if you're starting out, for example, I take my son, he's 18 years old, he's just starting off doing some savings, and he's using the ARC fund in quite a heavy way. I think he's got over half of his money in the ARC fund on the basis that he doesn't have a lot of money in the first place. His savings over time are going to be quite high compared to the size of the balance, and it doesn't matter if the volatility bounces around for a little bit in the short term.
How can someone then get their start in investing, and what options are out there?
Well, I think a good place to start is just to have a look around at the different funds and the different strategies that are in the marketplace. There's a few sort of hard and fast rules, I suppose, that are really important for everybody. Good diversification is key, so making sure that not all your eggs are in one basket. Any single individual company could go bust or could go bankrupt, and you could lose a lot of money in a single company. But if you've chosen well across a number of different companies and different stocks, then the chances of everything going wrong all at once are diminished. So that's called the benefit of diversification. But what you also want to probably avoid is over-diversifying as well. If you just have a little bit of everything, maybe you'd be over-diversified. So getting that balance right is important. But the main thing is to be investing in funds that you like what they're doing, you like what they're trying to achieve, and you've got some kind of alignment with what the fund managers are doing when they pick stocks or securities or bonds on your behalf. So it might be particular ethical considerations, or it might be particular growth considerations. So the ARK Fund, for example, that's specifically aiming for disruptive technology that is going to change the way that the world operates. So if you believe that these sorts of technologies are going to drive change, drive the way that the world is operating, and change the way in which we operate, then you'd want to be investing in those technologies because you're aligned with that idea. If you think that blockchain and autonomous vehicles and robotics and all those sorts of things are likely just to be a bit of a fad and a fizzle, then you won't want to invest in this fund potentially, because you'd be thinking that this isn't really going anywhere and it's all just a little bit choppy. So I think it's important to be aligned with your investments and that you know what it is that your fund's investing in.
Is there anything else people should watch out for when investing, and how can investors reduce their risks?
Fees is a topic that often comes up, and I think that's advice well said, to look at the fees of a structure. The fees can come in all sorts of guises, and you need to make sure that you understand the entire fee cost of the fee structure. So there may well be, if you're coming through a particular platform, you might have to pay a platform fee. There may be an advice fee. There may be in-fund costs. There may be expenses. There are management fees. There may be advice fees. And it's important, I think, when you're looking at investment, to understand what those are in totality. And to consider whether or not you're paying the right amount for the fund that you're trying to access. But there's also another important part when thinking about fees, which is that at the end of the day, your return to what you get in the hand is the return that's produced in the fund less all those costs and fees. So what you should also be looking at is, what is your return after fees? So you might be in a really low-cost product, but if it's generating poor returns, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a good fund. Similarly, just because something's got higher fees doesn't necessarily mean it's going to give you a bad outcome. But you need to make sure that you know what fees you're paying, because at the end of the day, that eats into the return that you're getting. I think if you're starting out in your investment journey, I think what's important is to start the savings habit just a little bit tucked away. As I said earlier, compound interest is your friend. And so starting that habit, starting putting some money away, let the markets, let the compound returns do their thing for you, then that's a really helpful starting place. I wouldn't be too worried if I was a young person around short-term volatility. Time is on your side, and you're going to be putting more and more money to work over the years, and so that will tend to swamp the effects of short-term volatility, generally for most people. And invest in something that you like the look of. Have a look at the different funds and the different structures, and if that resonates with you, then it's probably a good place to invest.
Iridangi Paul, Radio Bosom.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.